Ron McLean from Hockey Night in Canada, Rogers Hometown Hockey.
What a segue.
There you go.
What a segue.
That's a young pro right there who's hoping to get a Ron McLean autograph in Langley City, yeah. I believe, this weekend, Mr. McLean.
I love Kellen. He's either being kicked out or it's kicked in.
or he's hanging up on you, Ron.
Ride that fence.
Shout out to Roosters right there.
I felt like I was at Roosters the last time he was in control.
Did you watch any of that game last night?
I did.
Yeah.
By the way, just as an aside, I don't know why you would know this, but Chris Higgins is joining us on the broadcast in Langley.
Oh, wow.
Which is terrific. Interestingly enough, he was a ECAC Player of the Year back in his Yale days, and he was co-winner of Player of the Year with David Lemieux, who we had on when we were over in Nanaimo running the Clippers. But the question I have, I don't know why you'd know this, but there's a team, if you look at his Wikipedia, it says he plays as the backup goalie in soccer for the Roosters. Does this mean a thing to you guys? Do you know who the Roosters are?
Soccer team Roosters?
I'm a Markstrom on this, I guess. I'm a Torontonian, don't know my soccer. But
wow.
Early bird gets the worm, I guess, on this one.
Yeah.
Ron, I mean, here you are last Saturday with Hockey Night in Canada. You got the Leafs, you got the Canucks. It's the two largest English markets in the country. But it's and you know what? All the hype and all the conversation leading into it, and you guys did a wonderful job. And I thought Kipper had a nice little story to kind of get to see a different side of Elias Pettersson. But it's amazing how different a team Vancouver is without Elias, isn't it?
Right. I love that feature. Nick's done that a couple of times, and just to see two players talk hockey like that, and Elias, to his credit, right, he was really disappointed in the injury. And I'll tell you a story, and I probably shouldn't be telling you, but he actually said he felt better on the day after, but I think he felt worse. And for him to come in and do the interview, and he was extremely excited to do it, he's going to be a great ambassador for the Canucks for sure. So that was fantastic. The game was a dud. And again, watching the first period last night, as Travis Green said, you know, he was funny when he was asked in the press conference after the game, what about Granlund in the OT? And he says, well, who would you put out there? He says, I got to find six forwards. So they're really struggling offensively, and that's because the guy that stirs the drink is on the shelf for now. And by the way, I did think it was kicked in. As crazy as it is, because it was a bang-bang play, it was obviously not kicked in with motivation or by design, but I still would have, I could have easily seen that overturned.
What about the rule, though, Ron, that you can't go to video review for goals that are kicked in?
Yeah, and the other thing that was being discussed, I'm not sure which broadcast, but it was, it was the TSN broadcast, so I shouldn't be watching. But James Duthie on the quiz last night was asking on offside review, should there be a moratorium on the length of time after the play has been offside? You know, and Jeff O'Neill made the great point. He thought that once a shot's been taken or once it's, you know, caromed off the boards, it's kind of like a penalty shot. Once you've made your move, it's over. And yeah. I agree with him on that. I think they should reverse that. As for kicked-in reviews, I mean, you know, the whole review thing has always been a little, you know, a bit of a debate in my mind. I truly love it to be in the hands of referees only. I just think that the spirit of sport is you win some, you lose some, and sometimes it's because of that, mistake made by an official, and I think that's all part of it. It's an awful thing, but I still, I remember Pat Quinn's Philadelphia Flyers lost on a blown offside call by a dear friend and a great linesman, Leon Stickle. The Islanders beat the Flyers. I'm okay with that. And I think, you know, Pat Quinn's probably not okay with it. God love him. But I still think, you know, in sport, you've got to allow for mistakes and not try to get it nailed down with every camera angle.
You might say, in the words of Ron McLean, he stickled to him.
Yeah.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. I just watching you all these years. I'm with you. You know, you've been an official for so many years, and I totally understand where you're going with that one. And I kind of feel like there should be room for the human element. But I guess the only side to that, Ron, is in today's day and age, with so many cameras, with the volume of video and digital media now, is it almost it puts the officials in such a tough spot for all of us to second guess these guys.
That's
now.
True.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. And you know what? The officials will start to lose their confidence, and they'll start to err on the side of not making a decision. So there is that as well. You're probably right. We've maybe gone past the tipping point with the old Marshall McLuhan. We shape our tools, and then our tools shape us.
Yeah.
So I guess that is the truth of the matter. But it just, you know, the whole, it, it, more than anything, the one that bugs me is in baseball when a guy, you know, inadvertently comes off the bag a little bit and the second baseman or shortstop still holding his glove on the guy, and then they rule him out, you know, and I just think that is not the spirit of, you know, when Kiprusoff and the Flames lost because Marty Zelina had actually scored, Habib Boulin's pad was kind of over the line. On a bang-bang play with a photograph and replays, we should go back and award the cup to Calgary in 2004. So I don't know. I just love it to stay within the glass, within the, you know, I let the players and the officials are the ones. It's almost like Roosevelt and the critic, you know, ignore the critic. I feel like the camera angles are the critic, and I would prefer it to be left in the hands of the athlete. But I agree with your point.
Ron, we got this kid, Nikolai Goldobin here. James, he supports him more than anyone else in the city.
he's lying, what do you Ron. Do? Fake news.
Ron, what do you do with this kid? He's got the skill level, but his defensive awareness is hurting him with Travis Green. I don't like which way this is going. It's going to end up in a divorce, I think. But how long should you give a prospect time to figure it out?
Well, in the case of Todd Bertuzzi or Cam Neely or Guy Lafleur or Lanny McDonald, I'd say year three and four are kind of the tipping point. So you definitely don't want to make a judgment before the third year is done, in my mind. Everything's happening so crazy now, though. As they say, the 27 is the new 32. You get to 27, and if you're not an established top six forward, you're done. So there is that to consider as well. But, you know, he looks... Seeing Galchenyuk made me think of him, right? Because the nifty hands and the, you know, presence on the power play with the puck. There is that. You know, if you can figure out a way, and I think Travis can. Travis was that guy. Travis will be probably the first to tell you that there were holes in his game because he was just a gifted player. I would trust Travis to turn it around. So I would hope that he sticks because when he is good, he's a joy to watch. But Travis made the point that, you know, his speed's not there, and that's a problem. And obviously, if his defense is not there, that is the least of the Canucks' worries, though. And one other thing, just because I was listening earlier, and I wouldn't argue with, I don't think it went off a stick, Edler's. Did you guys get a good look to see if it went off?
No, it did not touch Edler. I don't think it did.
No, I think that was
it. It was a clean shot.
I think Jove was mad at the dirty look Jacob gave Alex. You know, as soon as it went in, he kind of looked at him and, you know, saying, you're sticking the way, or your stick threw me off. And I think a defenseman resents when a goaltender does that. So there's that. But I did think the stick threw him off. I wish Alex hadn't thrown his stick in front of the shot, and I think Markstrom would have had a better read on it. But not exonerating him fully, but I do think Edler takes half of the blame on that one.
And do you know, speaking of which, Markstrom, last night after the game, kind of puts the onus on the war room. I mean, to call somebody out, and I guess, you know, everybody's passionate. You're in the National Hockey League, I guess. He's still in the NHL, one of 60 goaltenders in the world that are doing that right now, or 62 for that matter. But for a guy like that in his position to be calling out the league, is he that guy to have the credibility or the street cred to do it?
No, you're right, James. Yeah. It would be nicer to hear him say, that one's on me. Should have had it, you know. That would be the leadership. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That would be the defiance and the thing that you can follow rather than look for the excuse. And that's why earlier in the year, Grapes, who loves Travis, you know, he was a little hot at Travis looking for the NHL to take care of the Matheson Pettersson incident. So the minute you start looking, and I always loved Al Arbor. I remember vividly when they were in their drive for five and the Islanders were playing the Rangers, and Maloney had high-sticked a puck. Clearly, everyone had seen that back in the day when there was no review, but it was so plain to see that Don Maloney, rather, had high-sticked a puck. It might even have been Dave Maloney, but one of the Maloneys. High-sticked a puck, and it ended sending the game into overtime, and I just remember how cool Al Arbor was. Rather than scream at the officials or, you know, panic in any way, shape, or form, he just owned it. You know, we're tied, now we're going into overtime, let's win this thing, and they did. So that's leadership, and Jacob's still kind of young in the number one role, but I'm with you on that one.
Thatcher Demko, Ron, I'm wondering if he's going to get the start Sunday against Florida.
For hometown hockey.
Oh, it would be great for you guys. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think he's probably due, and it might just be a good time to throw him in there for sure. It's not, you know, the hardest game in the history of hockey. So Yeah, that's. I think it's good that Travis gave Markstrom what should have been a 2-point win against the Coyotes. And a lot of times when you've got Demko, you know, you tend to start him on the road where there's less pressure, or you tend to put him up against somebody that he's going to show you. You know, you've thrown him a bit to the wolves, and he responds. But yeah, I think he might just get the start on Sunday. It'd be nice to see.
Quickly, Mike Matheson here on Sunday. We asked that Jovanovski about retribution. He said, "Nah, just play the game, forget about it." Your thoughts?
Sure. As we were talking last week, every time we try it, it seems to end up in a chaotic situation. So I don't think you'll see. There might be, you know, Eric Gudbranson is struggling, right? So it might just be the tonic for Eric to settle that score, and that wouldn't surprise me. Let's put it that way. But yeah, it'll be you know, for a couple of reasons, it'll be a nice matchup for us to see. We just had Mark Pesek featured when we were in Sherwood Park last week, so I'll be. Great to see the former Oil Kings captain and the Panthers, and obviously Roberto Luongo's influence on this. So it'll be a good show for us Sunday in Langley.
So Sunday in Langley City, you're here. You're on this side of the country this coming weekend, and you're just down the road from us here. You know what? You are so good to extended family members of the Cebulski clan, or honorary Cebulskis in some respects. Last year when you were going through the interior, an emotional one up in Williams Lake with the forest fires from last year. But Langley City, for people that are wondering, hey, is it worth going? What to check out? Give us a sense of what hometown hockey is all about, Ron, because it really is a party, isn't it?
It is. I hope folks realize it's both days. We open the festival on Saturday at noon, on Sunday at 11 a.m., and Kirk McLean will be there. Bo Horvat's actually signing autographs Saturday afternoon, so there's a great thing for the kids. And we have Paz, the hockey circus is unbelievable. Tara Sloan's on site doing some stuff, and there's a hot stove that she conducts, and Kirk McLean that I mentioned. So it's just a really great mix of music and hockey and interactive things for families to do, and there's lots of. It's going to be beautiful. The weather is going to cooperate, and then we've got the broadcast itself, which happens at 4 o'clock. We're on the air at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon. But yeah, anybody should come by. Kellen, you come by, and I can explain to you how I got out of trouble when I was in Vancouver Island, and you can explain to me what happened at Roosters. It'd be great.
He can explain to you, Ron, how he cut you off about a month ago.
That's right. So did PJ Stock at the social.
Oh, wow.
I see what you did right there.
That's the only way I didn't get kicked out.
Hey,
just need to have a pal, a wingman.
There you go, exactly. You know, pucks in deep. Ron, before we let you go, Rick Nash calls it a career. That just coming down here in the last few minutes. A quick thought on a guy who was one of the better goal scorers of his generation.
Absolutely, and he just was a, you know, prototypical power forward, really great on the big ice. Probably, if I think of his crowning achievement, it's the Vancouver Olympic Games when he was tasked with looking after Alex Ovechkin, right? So he did a fantastic job. Canada was struggling a little bit, and they put together a line with Jonathan Toews at center, and Rick Nash took care of OV, and he just did a great job. He would score big goals on the international stage, and throughout his career, you know, he was a great Londonite for sure.
Sportsnet 650.